saved you.
I come with my pen in hand because I decided just on Thursday to do these reflections. Usually when I'm preparing a sermon or something, I write something and I sit with it for a week or so and then I change it. And so I didn't have the time to change this as I normally would. I don't know if you have processes like that, that you function in a certain way. I'm very much a creature of habit. So if you are not, you can't even identify with what I'm talking about. But if you are, you understand where I am this morning. As I was driving in, and we have a 30-minute drive, and it was icy this morning, so it took a little longer, I kept thinking, oh, but I want to say that too, and I don't have that in the sermon yet. So it's not really a sermon, it's more of a reflection, but bear with me if I go off script, because I feel like there's a lot to say in terms of what our covenant says and where we stand in relationship to it. And I think the focus this morning for me is on community. Like, what is community? That's kind of what my reflection is based on. And some of you know I've been working as, I guess, a community organizer is what you would call me. I started with a number of other people, Lancaster Against Pipelines, and trying to protect our community from a natural gas pipeline that's proposed to come through Lancaster County, mostly for export. So people's lands are being taken through eminent domain, even though this is a pipeline that would be carrying gas for export. So it's not benefiting our community, not to mention the issues of fracking, where this gas is coming from the Marcellus Shale region where it's being fracked. So I have been working and building with, you know, dozens of other people, a community that didn't exist 3 years ago that is resisting this. And I feel like I've learned a lot about how community functions well and how it doesn't. And I think what I start with this morning is that communities are just messy. They just are. Because human beings are messy and difficult. We just are. But we can also be very nurturing and loving. And that's the side that I think we need to attend to more. So on Thursday, Susan and Amanda and I had a conversation, and we were talking about what are we going to do this Sunday, because the plans that Susan had made weren't coming together. And I've been here on and off for over 10 years, and I had never read the covenant. I know the core values. Maybe some of you know the core values. But as I, or as we were sitting there, I looked up the covenant online. It's on our website if you're interested in ever revisiting it. And I started reading through the commitments that we make here as we covenant with this church. And I was like, oh my gosh, I had no idea that this is a part of what we agree to live by when we come to this church. And I'm excited about this. And I've been forced to think again about what it means to create a community that's successful. And I think that we're at a different place in our country right now with the election and how it went. I know I was at a meeting yesterday, a community meeting that was at Southern Market. Did any of you know about that meeting going on? I know there were a number of people from our community there, from this congregation there. There were close to 400 people who came out who are worried about our country not being who we want it to be, and people who want to step up and do something about it. And that's powerful to me, and that's encouraging to me. And I wonder a little bit if how much community has to do with the success of an organization, how much it means for the health of specific individuals, and maybe even what it means for the health of a nation. I've wondered in part if the challenge we have in our country right now is not possibly due to our lack of community building, relationship building. Once we go over the covenant and remember what this church is committed to doing as a community, I think some of us might feel a little chastised. I know I did. For maybe not holding up our part of the bargain in this relationship. And it made sense to me when I look at the state of our country that it is at such a precarious precipice with this pending change in administrations. If such an incredible group of people as we have here at this church struggles to maintain their commitments to this powerful community that CMCL is, no wonder our country is waffling about who we are as a nation. And I think that our sense of community is at the core of our waffling country right now. Because what community comes down to is what we believe in and what's important to us and how we live that out. Thomas Merton has a book, No Man is an Island, and I think there's a lot of truth in that, that no one stands alone, that we always are in community, that we always have that great cloud of witnesses that has gone before us, whose shoulders we stand on. I would say that we have a collective responsibility to our children, that there is no juvenile who ends up in prison who got there on their own. There is no juvenile who ends up as president who got there on his or her own. That we do function as a community, whether we like it or not. And I guess the question is, what kind of community are we going to be? And how are we going to function? St. Benedict, my husband's a Benedictine oblate, so we've gone through years where we read parts of the Rule of St. Benedict. And one of the things that he has in his rule for, he established the order of the Benedictines, you may know. And the Rule of St. Benedict says that community is the workshop where we toil faithfully at all tasks of life, learning to live as individuals and yet one for God. And that's a really powerful statement to me, that if we are not willing to bump up against other people and listen to their input and receive their feedback, then we're not really looking at ourselves clearly. And if we're not looking at ourselves clearly, we can't function well in community. I wonder also how much social media has changed what community looks like in our society today. I'm sure there are those who would argue that online chat rooms have provided community for lonely people out there who would not have community any other way. And I'm open to pushback on this. But I believe that a community that is virtual is somehow only a reflection of the real thing, and a reflection that limits the depths of self-exploration and accountability and true growth and maturation. And I think those are the things that we, as the body of Christ, are looking for. We're looking for exploration, accountability, growth and maturation, not only in our faith, but who we are as a human being, and who we are to our brothers and sisters in Christ. I also had to question myself in how our excessive busyness has affected who we are as community members. There is some self-importance in being busy. And I am so guilty of this. And yet I think it breaks down communities throughout our nation, that we are so busy that we do things half-assed. We are so busy that we don't commit to things that really matter to us because we get caught up in children's sports and in just a rhythm and pattern of life and ruts that we forget to stop and say, what do I really care about, and how am I spending my time? We all have 24 hours in a day, and there are days that go by that I feel like 6 hours just passed, and I didn't stop and think one second about anybody else because I've been so focused on whatever busyness is at hand at the time. And I feel like we need to slow down a little bit and think about, are we spending our time the way we want to be spending it, with the people we want to be spending it with? Are we committed to things that God's really calling us to be committed to? And I know that so many people in this congregation are doing amazing, selfless things. One of the draws for me to this community is that it's a community of people of action who care about people outside of this community, care about refugees. They care about seeking justice. They care about fighting for the marginalized, and that's such a beautiful thing. But I am the first to say that I am constantly saying yes to the next cause. And if I'm fighting for 100 causes, how well am I committing to those causes? And am I being effective in what I'm doing? So all of these are just questions that come up when I think about covenanting to this church and how I'm spending my time and what I'm committing to. And I just thought I would take you along on that journey because maybe some of you have to question for yourselves as well. The covenant begins. As members of Community Mennonite Church of Lancaster, we proclaim our faith in God as revealed in Scripture and the life and teaching of Jesus Christ. We have symbolically and publicly proclaimed this faith and our commitment to follow Christ in life by our baptism and confession of faith. We believe we are called as a church to demonstrate and proclaim God's intentions for creation, the reconciliation of humans to God, and of human beings to each other. It's a really powerful statement to start with, and I was really struck by it. And yet I wonder, too, I know this covenant was written many years ago by incredibly insightful and godly people for the community they were a part of at that point. And I guess one of my questions coming in kind of new to this community is this covenant still applicable to where we are as a community today? Is the wording right? Is the covenant to identify who we are, or is it something for us to attain to? Is it something we're saying, I'm going to try to do this? Or do we look at this and say, this is who we are? So what we say here is that we proclaim our faith in God as revealed in Scripture and the life of teaching of Jesus Christ. Powerful statement I agree with. But I have been here long enough to understand that I think most of us also find the revelation of God in the created world in a powerful way. And that's just something that's not in the covenant. And so, you know, as I'm reading this, I'm thinking, is that implied? Is that okay? Do we commit to it? Or do we need to think about adding to the covenant or taking away from it according to who we are today? Do we need to revisit it? The covenant goes on. We commit ourselves to face our diverse understandings of the meaning of Christ's lordship with a spirit of openness and love for each other. We affirm the authority of the Bible, the leading of the Holy Spirit, and the consciences and counsel of our Christian brothers and sisters in all of our interaction with each other. When I was here 10 years ago, I was on the Justice and Spirituality Committee, and it was a really great committee of people. It was partly why I committed to this church, because I saw something I'd never seen before. There was one member of a couple on the committee, and this couple was going through a really tragic time. They were expecting their first child, and they had done some prenatal testing that showed the child had a disease, that the child was going to die either at birth or within the first 24 hours, 100% sure. And they were deciding whether to abort the child at this time rather than carry the child for 9 months for a dead child to be born. And they asked me and one of the pastors to serve on a discernment committee with them in prayer. This idea of seeking counsel from brothers and sisters in Christ, I had never been in a church or been in a community where individuals did that kind of thing. That said, I am at a crisis, and I have this decision to make, and I can't make it on my own, and here is a body of people I trust and believe in. Will you please sit and pray with me over the next 3 weeks as we choose to make this decision? And I was in tears for them, and I prayed with them, and I wasn't there to tell them what to do, but to help them consider their decision. And I thought, this is a body of Christ I want to be a part of, where we come together when life is hardest and we ask for help in how to move forward. It was a powerful experience, and it brought me back here. I don't know if we still do that here, but it's part of what brought me to Community Mennonite and keeps me here with the hope that that's how we will function as a body of Christ. The covenant goes on. We commit ourselves to the following goals, and there are 12 of them, and I will not speak about each of them, but there are a few questions I have about them or reflections as we go. The first one is, number one, participate regularly in Sunday morning worship, Christian education, and congregational meetings. And this is where I felt a twinge of guilt, because before I was hired as pastor here, our family kind of prided ourselves in coming once a month. That's great. We are at a church where there is no pressure to come every Sunday and get overly involved like some churches we've been at. And I love that about a Community Mennonite. And yet now that I've been on staff and been coming every Sunday, and Amanda and I were talking about this together, what a powerful thing to be here every Sunday in a part of community where you actually see each other on a regular basis. And you get to know the people and you build relationships. That it has changed how I feel about this community, that I am more committed to it because I know you better, because I'm here more frequently. And just speaking honestly, I don't know if Susan's gonna appreciate this or not, but we are struggling to get council members. We are struggling to get committee members to chair, get people to chair our committees. I'm struggling. I'm in the classroom every single Sunday because I don't have enough volunteers to teach our Sunday school classes. So we're all loving that there's no pressure to be overly involved at this church, and yet we are also struggling to fill spots, to make the church just function, because we're so happy to not have to be committed. But what kind of community do we have with that? And so I'm not trying to guilt you into something that you don't want to be guilted into, but I'm asking, what is our commitment here? And if we want the church to function and we're going to come here to be a part of it, what is our responsibility to contribute to that? Number two, maintain close relationships within the congregation for personal support, nurture, and accountability. The church recommends small group participation as a means of achieving this goal. I have never been a part of a small group here. How many of you are in small groups? I'm just curious. A lot of you are. I know there are small groups going on. I think that's great. When I first got here, I was like, yes, small group. And then I got on a committee, and I had kids, and life was full, and I never did it. So just recently, I said to my husband, you like that person and that person. I'm inviting them over, and we're starting a small group because I need to be in a small group, and I need you to be in the small group with me. So we've just started. I guess it's a small group. It's a community of people from here. We're meeting intentionally on a monthly basis to talk about our spirituality. And we've only met once, but it's a powerful time for me and for him, and I value that a lot. Number three, support, confront, forgive each other. Just boom, support, confront, forgive, like just like that, like when you just say it and it's done. But I love that we have that in our covenant. Do it. Support, confront, forgive. And I'd just like to add, it would be nice to have something in there like confront in love, maybe. Number four, incorporate children of all ages in our worship, education, and recreation. Done. I think we do that very well. I'm always open to new ideas how to do it better, but I really feel like we are a church of families, and that's a beautiful thing. Number five, discern and respond to spiritual, emotional, and physical needs of those within and outside of our congregation. I think we do that so well in some ways. I'm just proud to be a part of a community that does that. Number six, cultivate the inward journey through prayer, Bible study, reading, meditation, silence, and testing ideas and beliefs with each other. I think we can always do that more and better. I don't know the last time I was a part of a Bible study, to tell you the truth. I would love to see that happen here more regularly. If you're interested, talk to one of the pastors about it, because I think it, my theology's changed and the Bible means something different to me, but I think it's important for us to be steeped in Scripture and to study it and to question it. I mean, that's what it's about. Studying it is questioning it and figure out what it means to us, and I'm not sure we do that enough. Number seven. Exercise compassionate stewardship of our environment, money, time, and talents. Number eight, practice peacemaking and nonviolence in all areas of our lives. Again, I think we do a lot of these very well, but peacemaking and nonviolence, I would certainly love to see justice in there somewhere, because peacemaking includes justice, but we don't always think of that when we say it. And fighting for justice sometimes, and I've said this before, means not just being quiet and still and making sure nobody's feathers are ruffled, but sometimes it is about standing up boldly and saying, this is wrong, and I'm not going to pretend it is just for the sake of peace. I think we as a congregation have that impulse in us, but are we doing it? Number nine, welcome with love and respect all visitors and interested persons, giving them freedom to search and make decisions with integrity. Again, love our ushers who do that when people come in Sunday morning, and we as a congregation, I think, do try to reach out and welcome others. Lovely. Give and receive counsel outside our congregation with other Mennonite churches and the larger Christian church. 11, be an expression of God's salvation in Jesus Christ and minister to a broken world locally and beyond. And number 12, renew our covenant annually as a congregation. which we obviously do and we're doing right now. So there are some powerful imperatives in here and bold expectations for who we are as a community and how we should live with one another. And yes, it is messy. And yes, we fail. Like, we're human beings. That's what it's about. But we continue to struggle and try as a community. And I want to end on this idea of... I know that we didn't read the scripture this morning, and we probably do almost every Sunday. We do recovenanting of the body of Christ having different parts and working together, that each of us is a part that's important, that the lesser parts are really more important. And I think that image is really important to hold on to, because everyone who is in this room has a responsibility. They have a role to play in the functioning of this body of Christ. As a runner, I'm so aware that if I have a chipped fingernail when I'm trying to go out for 6 miles, like, that's going to bother me. It affects everything else. That any part of the body that is out of sync is going to affect the rest of the body. And because we are sitting here, we are all members of the body of Christ, and we have a role to play. And so I think the importance in recovenanting to this community is to say, who am I in Christ, and what do I have to offer? Even if it seems slight and it seems unimportant, to understand that that is what we need here for our body to function well. That as you think about what you're contributing to this community, even if it seems like you don't even want to say it because you don't think it's important enough, we value that, and we need you to step forward and be that part for this body to function well. And I can get passionate, I guess. And I love music, and it moves me. And so there are some lyrics from a song by Mumford & Sons that is "Awake My Soul." It's an amazing song, if any of you know it. But there are some lyrics that he says, "In these bodies we will live, in these bodies we will die. Where you invest your love, you invest your life." And I hold on to that I am, this is all we have, this is it. This is the life we were given. These are the bodies we were given. This is the community we've chosen to be a part of. That where we invest our love and our time and our energy is the life and the legacy that we're leaving behind. So I invite you during our time of covenanting to be inspired of the beauty and the gift that you are to this community and how you want to present that to us and be a part of us actively. Thank you.
Thank you, Melissa, for those reflections.